Welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show on the True Talk Radio Network. Get in on the conversation. Call 1-877-669-1292.
And welcome to the Howie Silbiger Show right here on the True Talk Radio Network. My name is Howie Silbiger, and I'm happy to be here with you. The idea of having a day to celebrate your country seems a little archaic to me, particularly because I'm Jewish living in a country that's not Jewish, and that makes it a little bit weird for me. Why, as a Jew, would I celebrate Canada? What has Canada done for me lately? That's the question that I ask. I don't ask it almost every year. I ask it every year. I've asked it every year since I've been a little boy. I live in Canada, and Canada is a strange country. It's a country that is a socialist country that claims to hate communism, but they practice an element of communism. Canada is a very weird country when it comes to minority relations, particularly in Quebec, where minorities don't seem to have any rights at all. And yet, here's Canada Day. They're asking me to celebrate a country that I don't feel comfortable in, a country that I don't feel safe in. Now, of course, many will say, Howie, you have the option, you could leave. What do you stick around there for? You always yell you could go to Israel, so why don't you go to Israel? And that is very true. I make a conscious choice to stay in Canada. But I don't really feel that I have a country to celebrate. I don't really feel any affinity towards Canada on this Canada Day or any Canada Day. Do you? And why? We're supposed to celebrate Canadian culture, but I can't define Canadian culture. Is Canadian culture standing on the street and yelling death to the Jews or globalized intifada? That seems to have been Canadian culture for the last couple of years, at least in my world. Is Canadian culture taking shots at schools and watching as the government does nothing to stop it? Is Canadian culture the delegitimizing of an ally state, the hatred expressed towards a population within the country? Is this what I have to consider Canadian culture today? I remember when I was younger, Canadian culture used to be considered, beavers and maple syrup and all sorts of other pretty idiotic stuff, but that was Canada. But today, I don't feel that Canadian culture really represents what Canada used to be. Today, Canadian culture represents hate, misogyny, oppression. And that's really sad. Fear. I speak to a lot of Canadian Jews. I speak to a lot of Canadian Jews. And unfortunately, Canadian Jews feel scared living in Canada. Since October 7th, since the massacre, the genocidal massacre in Israel on October 7th, anti-Jewish behavior in Canada has skyrocketed to unprecedented levels. And yet, the Canadian government refuses to do anything to stop it, refuses to do anything to curb it. Let me give you an example. There was there were shootings, schools were shot at in Montreal and Toronto, Jewish schools. Some shot at more than once. Anyway, the school that was shot at more than once, Yeshiva Gadol in Montreal, that school, they caught the man who had fired at the school. They caught them, and they caught the shooter. Now, thank God the shootings took place in the middle of the night and nobody was injured, and there was no potential to injure anybody, but it happened. It was a clear attempt to intimidate or scare the Jewish community, a clear attack on the Jewish community, and a clear attack on the Jewish community for political reasons. It was in the height of the let's globalize the Intifada and kill all Jews that we could find phase of Canada. and the man was arrested, but he's not being charged under Canadian's terror legislation, even though his crimes fit the bill. Why? It's a good question. In fact, if you look back, there are no people who have been charged under Canadian's terror legislation who have committed attacks against the Jewish community. So that means that the person who firebombed the United Tomatoes in Ville Saint-Laurent way back in 2003, didn't get charged under terror legislation. The person who bombed the YMYWHA didn't get charged under Canada's terror legislation. The person who threw a Jew down the stairs at a metro, at a subway in middle of Ville Saint-Laurent, didn't get charged under Canada's terror legislation. The people standing on the streets yelling, "Burn the Jews, globalized intifada, kill the Jews," are not being arrested. Why the hatred in Canada? What's the story here? Why are Jews not being protected in Canada? And it gets kind of scary, it gets kind of shaky a little bit when you think that we went to an election and the same government was elected in again. Which means that the people who voted, now Jews don't sway to vote in any way, shape, or form in Canada, but the people who voted didn't care too much that this government has been very weak on targeting terror and terror groups, has been very weak on protecting minorities. Nobody cared. And they re-elected the same people. And so as a Jewish community, as Jews, it seems to me that singing "O Canada," the Jewish event, is counterproductive. Now, of course, the liberals said, "Oh, we have to create a bubble around Jewish institutions." But why? The question is, and this is a serious question. So take a step back. Oh, the liberals are trying to protect you. The liberal government is trying to protect you. They're gonna install bubble legislation, meaning that there's a bubble around Jewish institutions. People can't protest in front of them or anywhere near them, and that'll save the Jewish community. No, it won't. No, it won't. Why are the Jewish community? Why is the Jews the only ones who need this kind of legislation? Why is it that Catholic churches and Muslim mosques could leave their doors unlocked and unattended so people could come in and pray, and Jews have to build fortresses around their synagogues? Why is it that the only places that you see guards standing in front of all day, every day, are Jewish schools? You don't see guards in front of Christian schools or Muslim schools or public schools. But you have security guards standing in front of Jewish schools. You have five layers of protection in Jewish schools and Jewish institutions. There's cameras everywhere. Millions and millions of dollars in infrastructure and staffing that no other community has to do. Doesn't that strike you as odd that there's only one community, only one in the entire country that has to spend millions and millions of dollars on upgrading security and hiring security guards and training and training and cameras, and nobody else has to do that? Doesn't it seem odd to you? Now, forget about if you agree or disagree with the Israeli point of view. Forget about any of that. Doesn't it seem odd that people have to live in fear, so much fear that they can't leave their places of worship opened? They have to be locked and sealed and treated as if they were a bank vault. Seems kind of odd to me in a country that's supposed to be a free country. There's a certain minority, a certain group of people in that country who aren't living freely. And that seems odd to me. That seems strange to me. That seems unfair to me. But I guess it goes part and parcel with the whole concept of this anti-Israel movement, of the questioning the Israel's right to exist. It's the only country in the world that anybody questions the right to exist for. So I guess Israel doesn't have a right to exist in the minds of haters, so neither do Jews. I never understood why Jews in North America or Jews in Canada are being attacked and being intimidated and being threatened and being scared and being terrorized. And I'll use the word terrorized because that's what it is. And over something that's happening 6,000, 7,000 miles away. And nobody cares. It doesn't make sense to me. If it makes sense to you, give me a call. 1-877-669-1292. Let's talk about it. Because it makes no sense to me. You know, there's civil wars. There's wars going on all over the world. And you don't see any other minority group anywhere in the world being attacked as much as the Jewish community. You don't see anybody being attacked as much as the Jews. Now, I know people are going to say, crying in the cornflakes, you know, you're always the victim, blah, 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 blah. This is what I get all the time whenever I talk about this. Somebody will inevitably send me an email, send me a message saying, you're a crybaby. But it has nothing to do with being a crybaby. It has to do with looking at the situation and understanding that this is a unique situation to the Jewish community. There are many other communities. In fact, Montreal, if we want to talk about Montreal, it has the most diverse population of any population in Canada. In fact, the borough of Côte-des-Neiges is the most diverse community in the world. And yet, there is no strife there. And yet, there is nobody trying to kill anybody as a people there. There's nobody calling for the death of these people. And yet, there are churches, Filipino churches and black churches and white churches, all sitting there with their doors open, welcoming people to come and pray. But the Jewish synagogues are locked up with security guards checking ID at the door. And don't say it's Jewish paranoia. It's really not. One has to wonder how anyone could consider it Jewish paranoia when there are people legitimately in the street every single day yelling, globalized intifada. Now, if you're not up to date on what the intifada is, let's just go over it quickly. The intifada was the indiscriminate killing of Jews in Israel as a pressure tactic to whatever they call it, Free Palestine or whatever it is. That's what the intifada was. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed in two intifadas. And to globalize it is essentially calling for the indiscriminate attack on the Jewish community anywhere in the world. This is essentially what Hamas calls for in their charter. This is what the people on the street are calling for. And knowing that your neighbors and friends are these people on the street, and the people living next to you are the people who are calling for your destruction, seems to me to be a little scarier than it should be. We talk a lot about the term never again. And I hear this term bantied around a lot. And since I was a little kid, I've always said, don't say never again. We can't say the words never again unless we really mean it. Never again means that every single Jew who lives in the diaspora, every single Jew that lives in a country that is not Israel, has to be able to defend themselves. Never again means that we're not going to sit by idly and allow people to stand in the streets and scream death to the Jews and carry out their mission to kill Jews. We're not going to allow that to happen. That's what never again means. But unfortunately, never again is an empty term. Unfortunately, the organized Jewish community doesn't believe in the concept of never again. And that's really where the Jewish communities are going to fall in North America. This is really the death of the Jewish communities in North America. And I hate to say it, but it's the truth. And people hate when I say this. But the organized Jewish communities, they like to call themselves the official Jewish community. I don't know who made them official. I don't know who made them organized. But anyway, the big boys in the Jewish community, the ones who try to shut up people like me, they don't believe that Jews should be defending themselves. They don't believe that Jews should be strong and outspoken. They believe that Jews should be appeasing and the appeasement that we should be carrying forth should be begging our neighbors not to kill us. That's what they believe. We talk about Israel advocacy, and I was hired years ago to teach Israel advocacy in a high school, and I taught the course. The kids who learned the course with me really learned Israel advocacy, because the first thing I told them was, we should never start the conversation when it comes to defending Israel, defending the Jewish people. We should never, ever start the conversation with Israel has a right to exist. That should be a given. And anybody who wants to argue with you and wants to start the conversation with the question, does Israel have a right to exist? The argument's over. It's a non-starter. Israel should never be put in question, the existence of Israel. The right for Israel to exist should never be put in question. That should never be the question. Now, if you want to talk about policy, you want to talk about tactics, you want to talk about treatment, you want to talk about that stuff, that's all Israeli governmental policies. And that is fair game, and you could talk about that all you want. But if you're going to start the conversation with, does Israel have the right to exist? It's just like starting the conversation, do you have the right to be in Canada because you're a Jew? Do you have the right to be here? And that's where the conversation leads to. Because anybody who's arguing that Israel doesn't have the right to exist and that Israel's occupying Palestinian land, which is the claim that these morons are making, are going to make the same argument against you. They're going to say that you're occupying Canadian land, First Nations land, Indian land, whatever you want to call it, and that you have no right to be here either. You're an immigrant. Get out. Because that's the argument they're making in Israel. You're an immigrant. Get lost. What are you doing here? You're an immigrant. You come from Europe. Well, we didn't come from Europe. It's obvious. Europe threw us out. Well, you come from Morocco. Well, Morocco, Jews of Morocco left Morocco for a reason. You come from Iran, Iraq. Well, Jews weren't really welcome there, were they? They were thrown out. So if you're thrown out of a land, then that land didn't really want you there. Now, you want to make the argument that Jews were thrown out of Israel, but sure, they were, but they were conquered. They owned the land. They ran the land, but they were conquered. So if you're going to start the conversation with, does Israel have a right to exist? Then there's no conversation. There's no argument. There's no point in talking. But if you want to really discuss the Arab-Israel conflict, then talk about the real stuff. But nobody wants to talk about the real stuff, because nobody wants to admit that the Jews are the victims. Because Jews can never be the victim. Even on October 7th, even when Jews were massacred, 3,000 Jews were massacred in one day, nobody cared. Nobody cared. 1,000 Jews massacred in one day, nobody cared. Biggest death of Jews since the Holocaust, nobody cared. But it's not a surprise. Nobody cared during the Holocaust either. Jewish life is cheap. If a black school or any minority school, we'll use the blacks for example. If a black school was shot once, people would be out in the streets screaming and yelling. There would be riots and protests and people would be screaming, catch the white idiot that shot up that school. If a black school was shot twice, they would be burning down the city. A Jewish school was shot twice, and the Jewish community did nothing. Nobody cared. There were no protests. Nobody got into the street. 10,000 Jews didn't get into the street and start screaming and yelling that the government should do something. In fact, the mayor of the city of Montreal showed up in front of the school and said, we condemn all acts of anti-Semitism and anti-Islamism. That's what she said. A Jewish school was shot up. And she couldn't bring herself to condemn the Jew hatred. She couldn't bring herself to condemn the attack on the Jewish community. She had to lump it in with, hatred against the Arabs, which there was none. Because that's where the Jewish community stands. There's scum under the rock. They're not scum on top of the rock. They're scum under the rock, according to our politicians. And then you have your court Jews. And we all know what court Jews are. These are the Jews who stand up for the governments that hate the Jewish community, that stand against Jews. These are the people who hold positions in these governments and give us platitudes and try to say the words that will make us feel good, because feeling good is all that matters, right? You just have to feel good. It doesn't have to be good. You just have to feel good. And these court Jews, they get up and they defend these governments, and they stand and they put their careers on the line defending these governments. And all they're doing is selling out their own people. These are the court Jews. And there's plenty of them. I don't have to name them. You know who I'm talking about. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them on a municipal level. There's plenty of them on a federal level. There's plenty of them everywhere. On the provincial level. It's mind-boggling that good people, that people who care about justice, that people who care about humanity, that people who care have done nothing, have said nothing, have been quiet, have been silent, crickets. It's mind-boggling. It's really, really mind-boggling. And they call themselves human rights activists. And they call themselves liberals. I guess liberalism only goes as far as Jews are concerned. As far as people standing in the street and yelling, kill the Jews. But it's not a Canadian problem. Although Canada is suffering from this problem. It's a world problem. But Canada, you know, I live in Canada, it's Canada Day, which is how I started this show. And Canada has done nothing to curb this problem for years. When the United Tomatora was blown up, when the Molotov cocktail was thrown through the window of the Tomatora Library. And Tomatora, by the way, is an elementary school. It was Erev Pesach. It was the eve of Pesach, of Passover. And a bomb was thrown through the elementary school window of a Jewish school. This was way back in 2003. I remember clearly that then Justice Minister Erwin Kotler, who's a great human rights lawyer and a great guy, I like him a lot, he had written in 2001, just after 9/11, he had written the legislation against terrorism in Canada. And the criteria he put into that legislation was that the act has to be a violent act, and the act has to be an act against a identified community, and the act has to be politically motivated. And in 2003, the act was against the Jewish community. It was a violent act. It was a bomb that was thrown against the It was a bomb that was thrown into a window of an elementary school. And they left a note on the door saying, we did this in response to the assassination of Sheikh Yassin, who was the head of Hamas at the time and was assassinated by Israel. So there's political motivation. Yet he decided to try the person who threw the bomb. They caught them, and he decided to try them as arsonists rather than terrorists. So his own legislation said that defined terrorism as this, 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 and this, and he decided to try them as arsonists. And when I asked him, I wrote an article at the time, and criticizing him and, you know, outlining exactly what I just outlined on the show. And he agreed with me wholeheartedly, but he said, look, Canada's just not ready to try people as terrorists. Do you think if it was a Ku Klux Klan member that threw a bomb into a synagogue, into a black church and blew up a black church, do you think for a second that Canada wouldn't try that person as a terrorist? It just seems odd and strange that continuously, time and time and time again, Canada backs down from using their terror legislation, backs down from trying people as terrorists. It doesn't make sense. A little later in 2003, maybe at the beginning of 2004, Another man threw a bomb into the YMYWHA, the Jewish Y. It blew up just on the stairs of the Y. Didn't hurt anybody. He also did it for political reasons. He was politically motivated. He was doing it in support of, in the retaliation, excuse me, not in support of, but in retaliation to the assassination of the man who replaced Sheikh Yassin as the head of Hamas. And yet again, he was arrested. He admitted that it was a politically motivated attack against the identifiable religious community. And he was tried with arson. In fact, he's back on the street. Even more shocking than a Jewish attorney general not trying people under the terror legislation when they attack his own community, even more shocking than that is that the Jewish community said nothing at the time. They were silent. The organized Jewish community was silent. The only person who was talking about it at the time was me. I was the only person talking about it at the time. I was on the radio. I was on the AM dial. I was screaming about this. And I was getting calls from pulpit rabbis and calls from the organizers of the official Jewish community, B'nai B'rith and Federation. They were calling me, telling me to shut up. They were calling me and telling me I have no right to talk about this and I should keep my mouth shut. I got a lot of those calls when I had my show on AM. Keep your mouth shut, Howie. You shouldn't be talking about this. Don't talk about stuff you don't know about. But they all refused to come onto the show to talk about it. They all refused to come onto the show to discuss it. And then years ago, when I sat down for the Canadian National Anthem, because I couldn't fathom standing for the Canadian National Anthem at the time, here, two obvious attacks on the Jewish community, two obvious terror attacks, and the community did nothing. In fact, they didn't want to tell people it happened. They really wanted to keep it quiet. We don't want to spook the community, they told me. And the government did nothing. And I said, you know what? I can't stand for the national anthem. I can't stand in honor of this country. And I sat down for the national anthem. And I remember clearly, I ran for city council a year later. And that came back. People were saying, hey, you were sitting for the national anthem. Hey, you don't support Canada. What are you running for a city council if you can't support Canada? If you're going to sit for the national anthem, who do you think you are? When I explained my point of view, the people who were criticizing me said, oh, we understand. But they didn't elect me anyway, so it didn't really matter. But the whole thing of honoring Canada makes me a little sick as a Jew. And I really don't think that we should honor Canada until Canada shows that they care about the Jewish community, until Canada shows that they're going to stand up to terrorism, until Canada shows that Jews are a welcome nation within the Canadian nation, that Jews are welcome to live in Canada. Because until now, the Canadian government has not done that. And I'm talking about the Conservative government as well as the Liberal government. They haven't done that. There hasn't been a time in Canadian history since World War II where the Liberal government at the Evian Conference, when they were talking about taking in refugees, Jewish refugees from Europe, from Germany and from Poland, where concentration camps were set up and Jews were being killed. And the Defense Minister of Canada, the Immigration Minister, he was Defense Minister, Immigration Minister, said none is too many. And then turned away a boat of Jews that had escaped. If you're interested in reading that story, look up the St. Louis, the story of the St. Louis, who went to Canada, they went to Mexico, they went to Cuba. Nobody would take them in. They ended up going back to Europe and all getting killed in concentration camps. Imagine a great, big, empty country like Canada couldn't take in Jews who were being chased by Nazis, who were going to be killed, and everybody knew that they were going to be killed. But Canada's policy was none is too many. Nothing's changed. Unfortunately, we're still living in a none is too many country. We're still living in a country that allows people to stand on the street and yell, "Kill the Jew." We should all be outraged. We should all be screaming. There should be Jews in the streets every single day. Yet we're tempered. We're sheep. Following in the footsteps of our leaders, the people with the money who run Federation and B'nai B'rith. Because that's who gets leadership jobs. Not the people who are leaders, not the people who care about the Jewish community, but the people who donate more money. They get leadership roles. And people with money, rich people, let's just face it, they really don't want to rock the boat. They really don't want to shake it up. Because shaking it up and rocking the boat affects their bottom line. And so Jews have to live in fear. Jews have to spend millions and millions of dollars to protect themselves and protect their institutions. Jewish students, I haven't even touched campus. We didn't even talk about campus. But Jewish students have to be afraid to go to university. They pay for the privilege and have to be afraid to show their Judaism at university. I know religious Jews, very religious Jews, who take off everything Jewish, everything identifiable, when they walk in the street. Is that really the way to live? In a free and democratic country, what are we celebrating on Canada Day? We're celebrating the democracy of Canada, the freedom, the multiculturalism. When Jews are afraid to walk the streets, Jews are afraid to go to a Canadian university, Jews have to lock up their synagogues? Where's the multiculturalism? Where's the diversity? I'm very confused by this. I'm very disturbed by this. And yet, plenty of Jews fly the Canadian flag because I'd rather live here than anywhere else. Why? I had this conversation yesterday with somebody who told me, I'd rather live in Canada than anybody else. And I said, why? He said, well, because in Canada, you know, at least I can live freely. I can do what I want. Really? You can? I said, yeah, in Canada, I can do whatever I want. I said, really? I said, would you go to Concordia University in Montreal or to Toronto Metropolitan University, which used to be called Rutgers, but, you know, Rutgers was a slave owner, so they had to rip Rutgers' name off, but Jews on campus can't show their Jewish identity. Because you know, we have to be sensitive to a slave owner's name being used for a university, but not sensitive to a population on the university not being able to express themselves religiously. Because that doesn't matter. But only one population, because if you try to stop Muslims from praying on university, in the university, they would and that wouldn't go over very well. But Jews, no. They can't do anything. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. It's crazy. It's insane. And yet, we tolerate it. And yet, we live with it. And our Jewish leadership allows it to continue. Our media allows it to continue. Human rights activists don't care because Jews can never be the victim. They always have to be the bad guy. It's a sad world we live in, and this is why I'm not celebrating Canada Day today. I will celebrate it, and loudly and proudly celebrate Canada Day when Canada starts celebrating their Jewish community. I'm Howie Silberger. Thank you for joining me. This is the Howie Silberger Show. We're heard right here on the True Talk Radio Network. And I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you giving me your time. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you want to not miss an episode. And we'll see you next time.